The Sultan of Brunei was rumored to have been there.
Really?
Yeah, but it ended up being the Sultan of Brantford. Greetings, Lodge Masters.
Whoa.
Oh, but I'm getting ahead of myself.
You are, and you're throwing that term around pretty loosely, especially when it comes to us.
Well, all right. Let's backtrack a bit.
Yeah.
You are?
I'm Leo Antonelli, and you are?
Kevin Machino.
And this is Romper Ruminations.
Not and only that.
We have returning guests today. Can you believe it?
By popular
they came back
demand.
After what happened in the last episode.
Well, look, our audience wouldn't have it any other way, right?
Yes, backed by, I would say, popular demand.
Yeah.
We've got Matt Catalano. Matt?
Oh. Pleasure to be here, as always, right?
Nice. Mm-hmm. And, of course, Brian Howard is here.
I can't believe you had me back.
Hey, listen, we'll have anyone back as long as they provide beer and snacks.
Right. Which they did.
Which they did.
Admirably.
Yeah. Today we're going to talk about...
It's a meaty subject today, isn't it?
It is a very meaty subject.
Yeah.
It's oozing with blood and juice and...
At this gore, gore and lore.
And lore and...
Pine sap.
Pine sap. Yes, it's dripping with pine sap.
There's a tie-in.
There is.
And there always is.
Of course, we're talking about... Well, maybe, of course, right?
But of course you are.
But we're talking about an exclusive resort known simply as The Lodge.
The Lodge?
Yeah, the is important.
I mean, is that like The Cars or The Band?
The.
Or the Donald?
No. It's about what The Lodge aspired to be and what it eventually became.
I think it's what any lodge aspires to be when you get right down to it.
Yeah. We all have a mutual friend whose father actually... belonged to the lodge. He was a member of the lodge. He actually attained the status of lodge master, which you refer to.
So loosely tossed around.
Right.
Yeah.
And which we're going to get into more detail as we move along. For years, he would tell us these stories about the lodge. And we thought, oh God, that would make a great episode for the podcast.
I think lore is the key word here. I know we said it before, but it's got a lot of lore.
A lot of lore. No Lori Loughlin, but a lot of lore. Yeah, so we heard stories about this fabled resort and its precipitous fall from grace. Our friend gave us permission to talk about the lodge on the condition that his name not be used and his father's name not be used.
I thought it was really good of Frank to do. I mean,
Okay, we can edit that out later.
Yeah. Don't forget.
So we're going to talk about what made the lodge so unique, touching on its out-of-the-way location, its bizarre accommodations, innovative dining, groundbreaking activities.
It's aura of mystery,
yes,
I think.
Yes, that was big.
Yeah.
It's over-the-top customer service, and it's quasi-famous guests.
Oh, gosh. Who's who
of quasi-famous guests.
Yeah.
And quirky amenities, including a music venue that I'm sure take up a lot of the conversation, I think, today.
Well, that's really the crowning jewel of the lodge, I think, you know. But first things first.
First things first. Let's talk about location, which is kind of a nebulous topic, I think, because we're not...
It's a mystery in itself.
Yeah, he wouldn't reveal the location. All we have to go on is it used to be the home... it used to be a home for wayward boys. We knew that it was somewhere in Ontario, okay, Canada, for our international... listeners. And we knew the area was home to a large concentration of pine martens, furry little...
Oddly enough.
Yeah. And that's it. That's all we have to go on. So what were the three, Matt, you want to talk about the three places that we had it narrowed down to?
Well, the three that we looked at due to pine marten population and a location for a former school or current school for wayward boys. Mm-hmm. So I was combing the Yelp reviews for schools for Wayward Boys. And,
oh, I didn't realize they had Yelp reviews.
Oh, yeah. They're very scathing, right? So,
like, I don't think anyone's going to give a five-star rating to
them. Well, the one I got in front of me here is the food is terrible in such small portions. Well, anyway, so we cross-triangulated a lot of this stuff, and we came up with three potential locations. So one would be Gravenhurst, which
for obvious reasons.
Yeah, yeah. And then Flesherton, which is obviously the – you know what Flesherton is.
Well, the gateway to Beaver Valley.
Yeah, the gateway to the Beaver Valley.
So I've been told.
And the last one, but that really piqued my interest, was Sarnia. So I did a deep dive, and I actually went to Sarnia.
You did?
I did. And I did a little investigation.
Impressive.
And I was in the Sarnia Public Library in the restricted book section, and I found this book that really caught my attention. And the title was From On Track to Slack and Back Again, or How I Traded My Jean Jacket for a Tweed by Ricky Henderson, Diary of a Wayward Boy.
I heard that that was an unauthorized autobiography.
Wow. Well, it was self-published, which is crazy because it was also a self-help book. And
it doesn't instill a lot of confidence in the author when he couldn't get it published, basically.
Not at all. In the book, he professes – this is – you know, we're getting in the reads here. But he drank eggnog with every meal. Which he, he said it boosted his virility. But I did a little more investigating, and I think that it was sponsored by Big Nog.
Wow.
Yeah. Like the back page was essentially a coupon for eggnog or lait de poulet if you're reading it in Quebec.
Have their tentacles and everything, don't they?
But beware of Big Nog.
But how this relates to the lodge. So on further investigation, I found that on page 86, Ricky recollects a curious incident that occurred the day before the school unceremoniously closed.
Okay.
Right. So the boys were all out on the tetherball court when a lime green stretched limo pulled in and a man in a full length white fur coat got out and he went directly to the headmaster's office.
That just reeks of celebrity.
Yes. And after a half an hour, Ricky goes on to explain that the headmaster came out and said they were closing the school and all the boys had to get out.
Wow. Like just... No notice, just like
no
gone.
Notice, just gone, wow. Like in a day. But you know, Ricky landed on his feet, so you don't have to worry about
him. Where are all the boys gonna go?
Well, they're already used to being wayward. I think.
They were wayward boys.
They were wayward boys.
Where's all my head at?
So, but this, you know, this begs further investigation because what we know of the lodge and what the lodge became, this sounds like. The kind of people that would frequent the lodge.
Sounds plausible. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. So what?
It sort of just emerged one day in the woods near a lake and not really sure how and when, but it soon became known as the place to be by international jet setters.
Yeah.
Those in the know.
Yeah.
It had its own airstrip and helipad. Like there were no roads. You couldn't drive there.
Completely inaccessible.
Mm-hmm. In excess. Did you say inaccessible?
I'm jumping the gun.
But that has Fractions Lounge implication.
Yeah, and these pine martens were everywhere. These little guys, they're little furry mammals, and they're cute, but
to a point.
I mean, one or two, but this we're talking hundreds. But they kind of embraced it,
if not thousands.
And they embraced the pine marten, even became part of their logo. You know, they overran the place. I think they would even bite the guests sometimes.
They are known as nature's most adorable predators.
That's right.
So because of this, you had to sign a waiver that was like as thick as a Stephen King novel.
Yeah. A litany. Legal documents.
Yeah. And I heard that sometimes they would sort of, before their stay, guests would have a copy of the waiver sent to their lawyer so they could look it over before they signed it. It was so detailed.
I think the plethora of pine martens was just one of many perils that
were laying in wait in the lodge.
Yeah.
At the lodge.
At the lodge. Oh, and if you could make your way through the Pine Martens, you would find various accommodations that unparalleled, like I'm talking 3.5 to 4 stars.
Oh, that high?
Yes. Yeah. And some of these suites were frequented by, I would say, Hollywood and the rock royalty.
The suites themselves were pretty novel, too.
Yeah.
The way they were constructed. Each one had its own laundry chute and its own dumbwaiter.
Oh, that's great.
All interconnected, a vast network, right?
Yeah.
A lot of the suites were inspired by celebrities,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, they were kind of like, you get a suite, yeah, but they were temporary. Like they were the sort of the flavor of the day.
Yeah.
And they could be renamed.
Sure.
They were basically theme-based, I guess you would say.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. We can talk about those suites.
Yeah.
When I think of the Maria Muldaur suite.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So the whole Midnight at the Oasis thing.
Right.
That was
my favorite Maria Muldaur song.
Yeah. Yeah. And so that was left over from the Sultan's Convention mm-hmm. that came to the lodge.
Yeah, didn't they bring in like actual camels?
They did. They did. A whole cadre of camels.
But I think they all died from hoof and mouth disease.
Yes, they did, unfortunately. And the Sultans, I mean, the Sultan of Brunei was rumored to have been there.
Really?
Yeah. But it ended up being the Sultan of Brantford.
Okay.
But that's still pretty good.
Hey, that's still, you know.
Hey, any sultan is good sultan.
I take what I can get.
That's 3.5 stars right there.
Right, right there. Okay, so Maria Muldaur suite, the clock was always stuck at midnight.
Yeah.
Which made things a little bit difficult, you know?
You'd often be
late
too early for lunch every day.
Late for spa visits.
Yeah, you'd miss scheduled activities.
Oh.
I heard Bruce Dickinson stayed there in the early 80s and wrote 2 Minutes to Midnight in that very same suite.
Wow. That could very well be.
Okay.
There's so many things that are uncovered here.
You'd always have a place to put your camel to bed, though.
That's the good thing.
But did they ever wake up?
Ooh, wow.
So there was the Diane Cannon suite. Did you hear about that one?
I did hear about that.
Yeah.
I heard there was a real cannon that you would fire off to summon the staff.
Yeah. Yeah. That became a bit of a...
bit of a nuisance, I think.
Well, liability.
But I think... but that's not the reason that it was so short-lived.
No, no,
there was
no,
another reason.
Well, the guests were all forced to watch the every Diane Cannon movie ever made.
Yeah, the Diane Cannon canon, so to speak. With one end. Right. And that really drove them crazy, I think.
Yeah, not very good.
Not a lot of selection there.
No. What about the honeymoon suite?
That was, yeah, that's another problem. They had to pipe in their music and...
24/7, basically.
Nobody liked that.
No. They were getting really angry. What about the Celine Dion suite?
Oh, yeah.
That was constructed with a lot of optimism, but it ended up having flooding problems.
Oh, God.
They spared no expense on that one. I mean, they had these transport planes trying to fly in icebergs. And by the time they got there, it all melted and it was just a mess. But they just kept trying.
Yeah, people were ripping doors off the hinges just to stay afloat, you know, and not sharing them with other people.
Anyways,
it was awful.
I think they eventually put in some pumps, but they were noisy too, so, you know.
Oh, another notorious one was when Peter Falk stayed there, he had his own island, and he called it Peter Falkland Island.
Oh.
And there was a bit of a mix-up because it was booked the same weekend by an Argentinian group and a British group, and there was they had a big fight over who... it was nasty. They had to fly in a representative from the UN to mediate the dispute. It was ugly.
It was they didn't think things through, you know. They sort of thought, this would be a great idea.
No. They were shooting from the hip.
That's the lodge, right? That's what it was.
That's the lodge. So what about some of the other, goodies at the lodge? What about the dining?
Oh, boy. The dining.
Yeah.
Don't get me started on the dining.
Well.
Oh, you're trying to get me started.
I'm trying to get you started. I think they were trailblazers in many ways, right?
They pioneered the concept of micro dining.
Yeah.
And you know how...
I mean, to a fault.
Because there's already a trend of portions getting smaller and smaller. And they took it to the next level, where they were almost like microscopic, but intense flavors. And they would provide you with like a jeweler's loop.
Yes.
So you could see.
And tweezers.
And tweezers so you could actually put the food in your mouth.
Boy. Oh.
But apparently they were really like, you didn't need a lot of this food because it was so intense.
Well, talk about portion control.
That's right. They did it for you.
But, you know, the positive spin on that is that everyone would leave the lodge eventually. And most people lost a lot of weight because of the microdining, right? So they would always get compliments about how good they looked after a stay at the lodge. So I guess it wasn't all bad.
Oh.
How about the signature drink at the lodge? Anybody?
Oh, the pine martini, you mean?
Yeah.
None other.
Oh, that was their signature drink, which I believe was gin or vodka, Greek retsina wine instead of vermouth.
Yeah.
And pine needles sprinkled on the top and maybe a little pine cone perched on the edge of the glass.
Presentation is everything.
Oh, it was beautiful. The amenities. You want to talk amenities?
Well, we can talk activities.
Activities.
/ amenities, right? Hosted escape rooms, murder mystery weekends.
Yes.
The funny thing about the murder mystery weekends is that they were actual murder mystery
I heard that. Yeah. Rumored. Yeah.
Yes.
And the escape room, you know, if you could not escape on your own, you would not get any hints from the management. You just had to find a way until your flight was scheduled to leave, and then they would let you out. You know, it was hardcore.
It was hardcore. Mandatory archery.
Archery was mandatory.
That's, you know, that's got trouble written all over it,
I
think.
Yeah.
Because I think there were some casualties from that.
It does make me quiver.
Oh, and they even had lawn darts after they'd been banned.
Real lawn darts.
Mm-hmm. Talk about playing with fire. And they had seance. Matt, you want to talk about
the seance.
Oh. One in particular they had.
The seance to bring back Yul Brynner?
Yeah, to raise the spirit of Yul Brynner.
That's right. I don't know how successful it was, but it did pack him in that night.
Oh, did it ever,
right?
And there was a plan to stage the Battle of the Network Stars.
Right.
But like fought to the death, but it didn't, they couldn't.
Gladiator rules.
Yeah, that. But it didn't, the lawyer said, no, we can't do this thing.
Which is too bad.
It's too much even for the lodge, which is saying something, I think. But, you know, they've tried.
Oh, gosh. What about, can we go to customer service? Can we talk about customer service?
You want to talk about customer service? They pioneered the field.
Rewards program, of course.
Yeah, there no points involved. It wasn't like you would get. Well, there were points, but you couldn't redeem them for anything. The reward was...
How would you feel if you attained the lofty position of lodge master or lodge mistress?
Oh, my God. That would be the ultimate reward.
Yeah.
Who cares about getting a free flight to, like, Cleveland?
Right.
I want to be lodge master. And you would have to be... If you did achieve that status, you would have to be addressed that way by all the staff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And if
proper forms of address. Yeah. Right.
And if someone didn't refer to you that way, they would be fired immediately. And sent home.
They had a huge turnover with the employees at that place.
Yeah.
Like just the dangers, the constant archery, the pine martens,
the pine martens.
Diane Cannon's cannon. Like it's...
What cannon are you talking about?
I'm talking about.
Well, then there was the infinity pool.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, forgot about the infinity pool.
Well, so look, because it was an actual infinity pool. There was just nothing... false or pretentious about the lodge.
No.
Because everything they did was actual. So this pool went on forever.
Yeah.
They had a heck of a time trying to find lifeguards. You know, just infinity pool, no thanks. You know,
you
I'd rather go somewhere else.
Know.
No, that's that's a bridge too far. Well, there aren't even any bridges in an infinity pool.
Well, it would be tough to build a bridge in an infinity pool. Because
they were always adding on to it.
I think they're still building it to this day.
I think they are.
When is this going to get done? Like,
well,
it's going to go on forever, right?
Well, a lot of guests died in the infinity pool, as I recall.
Yeah. And then good luck finding their body.
Well, it's really tough to dredge an infinity pool, isn't it?
Yeah, that would take forever.
So, yeah.
Totally unrelated, but... There are things, you know, like the infinity pool. I noticed a truck the other day and it said Garda World. And I'm thinking, that's an ambitious thing to do.
To guard an entire world?
Guard an entire world.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I don't know.
It's like the infinity pool. I mean, boy.
Wow. It's like the never ending story is actually only 88 minutes long.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. How does that make sense? What about the outlandish requests?
Oh.
You know, for all the guests.
There were rumors about the kind of service they would demand. And they would be accommodated, right?
Well, as always.
I heard a tech billionaire from Singapore was craving a Burt Reynolds. You know, the cocktail, which is what is that? What is that again?
I know it well.
It's a, well, you love a sweet cocktail.
Yeah.
And this is pretty sweet.
It's sweet.
It's like what?
Butterscotch schnapps.
Yeah.
Spiced rum.
Yeah. And we add a little caramel to when we make
them. Yeah.
But this guy just didn't want any old cod. He wanted Burt Reynolds himself to prepare it for him.
Wow.
So they flew Burt in.
Yeah.
And his own mustache groomer, of course, for the duration of the stay. And he prepared this cocktail. God knows how much money he was getting.
Oh, my gosh.
Probably more than he got in for Sharky's Machine, I would imagine, which is like saying a lot.
Yeah. It sure is.
Do you want to talk about Don Knotts?
Oh.
Because he had a weird phobia.
Yeah. Is there even a medical term for that?
I don't think there is.
I think viewers should leave it in the comments, the medical term for fear of...
Accordions.
He would demand that the entire grounds be searched for accordions before he would even set foot on the property.
What about buried accordions?
Buried accordions?
You'd have to use metal detectors, I guess.
Yeah, he did. I think he did insist on that.
I think an accordion detector is a Sharky's Machine.
That's the sequel to Sharky's Machine, I think. Accordion detector. Sharky, accordion detector.
Oh, my gosh.
And Joanne Worley.
Okay.
Did you know that she was an avid boxer back in the 1970s?
I didn't know that.
I'm sure Matt knew that. I think Matt knows a lot about Joanne Worley. And he probably does know this.
I think there was like a secret ring, like in the woods.
Where, that's right.
Like she would take on all comers. It didn't matter. Like,
they would provide sparring part, and she would just beat the crap out of them.
Wow.
You wouldn't look at her. You wouldn't think it.
Many a wayward boy came away like with their tail between their legs when you go into the ring.
Yeah,
in the woods.
Like, they thought Joanne Worley. I'm going to knock the bandana off her, the boa right off.
Yeah, the first rule, I think, of Joanne Worley Fight Night was
we do not talk about
Joanne Worley's Fight Night.
Well, speaking of fights, one of my favorite lodge stories comes, it was Marty Croft from Sid and Marty Croft fame.
Right.
He came to the lodge, and then after dinner, if he got a little tipsy, he'd go back to his room and put on one of the costumes from one of his kids' shows.
Oh, you're kidding.
No. And one night, I think he was dressed up like H.R. Puffin stuff, and he got into it with Ruth Buzzy.
Oh, gosh.
And she wasn't having any of it.
You don't want to get into it with Ruth Buzzy.
And so it escalated pretty quickly.
I can imagine she
grabbed a salad fork and pinned his hand to the table.
Oh, God.
Marty did not like this at all. So he pulls out a revolver.
Are you serious?
Yeah, but he can't get a good sight on Ruth because she's ducking and weaving, and he's got the head on.
Oh, he's got the costume
from the H.R. Puffin stuff. So he takes a shot, doesn't hit her, but who does he hit? He hits one of the ball men from the tennis court.
Oh, my God.
Did we talk about the ball men?
Not yet. I thought he had a wayward boy.
He was just in the corner. He was just wayward. Just like,
yeah. Wow. Well, they was Sid there though to help out or
no? That's the thing. They never partied together.
Oh,
they
weird.
Were brothers, but like Marty, the lodge was definitely a Marty thing.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
And they that's the thing. They wanted A-list celebrities, but they kind of got sort of C and D lists and E.
But notable.
Notable, though.
Nonetheless.
You would hear it. Yeah, you.
Sure.
Like, who are some of the people they would get?
Oh, gosh. You want to talk famous guests?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Let's get
that
going.
That's the whole point of that segue, I think.
Let's get going. How about Joyce DeWitt?
Whoa.
How about Elaine Joyce? Dr. Joyce Brothers? James Joyce.
The author?
No. Elaine's younger brother.
Oh, he was a real tag along.
Oh, followed her everywhere.
Really old. James Joyce.
Yeah. I don't know. Toby Keith and Yasmin Bleeth.
Wow.
All right. How's that? How's that for panache? How about Frank Gorshin and Marjo Gortner?
Wow.
Huh?
Yeah. How about Robin Leach and Stacey Keach?
Come on. None other. Yeah. And I heard that Harry Giardino came one time.
Really?
Yeah. But he checked in as Gary Merrill.
I heard that Gary Merrill came and checked in as Harry Giardino.
It could have been the other way around. No one really knows for sure.
We'll never know.
No one ever knows.
No. But we were talking about, you mentioned Ballmen before, yeah. How one was wounded in that incident. Yeah, because they didn't have, you know, we didn't correct you and say ball boy. It was because they had ball men,
yeah.
Which is great for the older guests if you were, because it took them a really long time to retrieve the ball. So it would give you a chance to sort of catch your breath and
well,
get
the,
ready.
The ball men wouldn't be crouched. They'd be lounging in these high back chairs.
Yeah. Sometimes they would fall asleep.
It's true. Which,
and you'd have to get your own ball.
Yeah. Yeah.
And yeah, not really spry and
no.
Probably couldn't avoid like random gunfire if it happened, broke out in a dining hall.
No, that's the thing, right? They
just,
were
just say,
which is again another poor decision because I think a ball boy would be able to, you know, those guys can move. would anticipate that.
They were basically sitting ducks.
They were. What's that? I don't know. Any other celebs before we go on? Any other ones you want to talk about? Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise, Bill Bixby.
Mm-hmm.
Tina Yothers.
Tina Yothers.
Sally Struthers.
Yeah. To your Tina Yothers.
I'll raise you. Lee Majors.
How about that?
Yeah. Gavin McLeod.
Meryl Stube.
Meryl Streep. No, not Meryl Streep.
Would you say Lee Majors is a minor celebrity or a major celebrity?
Oh, I'd say major.
Yeah, it's right in his name, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, okay. I think they wanted Meryl Streep, but they thought, but we'll settle for Meryl Stube.
For Meryl Stube.
Yeah.
Which isn't bad.
No, I mean, frankly, I would have it the other way around, right?
Any Meryl is good Meryl.
I take what I get.
This is the crowd, but let's talk about the entertainment.
Whoa.
Oh,
whoa.
Wow.
Well, I mean, the amenities, the aforementioned infinity pool, of course,
yeah.
Which now needs no introduction. But and the tennis courts with the ball men.
They had a casino, didn't they?
Oh, yeah. Yes, they did. They did. They had a special Burt Bacharach room at the back.
Yeah, but not the very back because
No.
That was reserved for Scott Bakula and his high-stakes backgammon game.
I wonder if they ever played Baby Got Back. You know,
I think
in those venues. They should have.
Now, Martin, I mean, sorry. Matt.
There was a pine marten underneath the table, I think. I think it just kind of brushed up against you.
Yeah, I got pine marten on the brain. But you, Matt, you mentioned...
you promised there'd be no pine martens in this studio.
Well, no, I just promised no pine martens would be harmed in the making of this episode.
Okay, sorry.
Too much. But you talked about, I think, probably the most famous venue of the lodge, the most, or infamous.
Infamous. Honestly, this when we talk about lore, this is the place of all places. An elite group of people came and played this stage. And there was only one stipulation in order for you to get on the bill. And what was that, Kevin?
Well, your band had to have a recently deceased member or members.
You're talking about
I hope.
The Fractions Lounge.
I'm talking about the Fractions Lounge.
Okay. The Fractions. Because again, it's another example of how they started here and then went down here. Like originally.
Yeah. Yeah.
We're going to call it the Fortunes Lounge.
The Fortunes Lounge, yeah. For wealthy people only, right?
Oh, yeah.
And you had to show your T4 at the door?
Yeah, and you get these really intimate, they wanted these really intimate concerts with really, really A-list, like, I think they wanted the Rolling Stones for the first concert.
Oh.
And then the booker, he remarked, come on, you can't afford those guys. Maybe you could afford half of them. And then... The light bulb went off.
Yeah.
The light bulb went off.
And the rest, as they say.
Like, honestly, I think the who's who played the Fractions Lounge speaks for itself.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So, give me somebody. Who played the Fractions Lounge, Kevin?
Well, let's see. How about the Monkees?
The Monkees played the Fractions Lounge?
Well, part of the Monkees.
How many Monkees?
You're talking about when Mickey Dolenz was the last monkey standing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just the monkey?
The monkey.
Well, Look, that's the thing about the Fractions Lounge, because they would rename the band.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they would always rename the act, you know. So in the case of the Monkees, yeah, it could have been the Monkey, or it could have been One Monkey Don't Stop No Show. Yeah.
I think he opened with that. I think yeah. Mickey Dolenz did.
Yeah.
Again, so the concept was these were musical acts, groups,
yeah.
who had lost one or two members.
Yeah.
And they would reform as another sort of iteration of their the former group.
Some might say a lesser iteration, but I wouldn't.
No.
I wouldn't say that.
And I think the
just
Booker,
different.
He compared himself to more like he was kind of like an ambulance-chasing lawyer. He would show up at these rock star funerals, right, with his business card and hand them out at the funeral. And with the slogan of the and he had like several versions of the slogan.
They
like
had some great taglines. Yeah. They really did. Oh, I don't know. giving death a positive spin, yeah. I think, was one. Some is better than none.
Yeah, and then there was one that said, sooner or later, everyone plays the Fractions Lounge.
Well, that's the thing about the Fractions Lounge, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was bittersweet because... Yeah. The smell of death was always in the room.
It was.
Oh, more bitter than sweet, I'd say.
Yeah. But that's what kind of made it exciting, though, don't you think?
Sure.
Oh, people saw some sweet acts there, like Frankie Valli in the Two Seasons.
Right, yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah. Dave Clark 3.
Yes, that's okay. Right.
Cool in the Small Gathering.
Right, instead of Cool in the Gang.
Yeah,
right?
I like
guys quite a gang.
Reduced to a Small Gathering.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. And
the Smothers brother.
Okay. Yeah. Who got smothered?
Andrew Ridgely as Am.
Oh,
Andrew Ridgely Appreciation Society.
Well, I think I remember that one because wasn't there? Well, I remember a word of that because there was after the music show there was a real estate seminar. For guests that wanted to stay around, right?
Yeah, that was one of his conditions, I think.
Yeah.
Because he was selling real estate, too, at the time. Yeah. He said, I'll do the show, but they've got to listen to my pitch.
Yeah.
Which is fair enough.
It is. It's fine. It's fine. How about Hall & Oates' Restraining Order?
That's right.
That's an interesting one.
Because it didn't necessarily have to be a death. That was one of the rare occurrences where they were both alive, but they couldn't be in the same venue.
I think death was always preferable, but...
Right.
There were exceptions.
One had a restraining order on the other.
The Smith played under those same kind of conditions.
Yeah. They were all alive. They just could not be in the same room together.
Sure. Yeah. What about Stills, Nash, and Young? Did you hear about that?
When David Crosby died, they seem to be dying in order. You know, if I were Stephen Stills, I think I'd be worried.
the Bird?
The Bird, yeah.
Yeah.
Z-Top,
I think
was one of them.
The Pointer Sister, although
I think that's down to like
pointless.
There's not even
yeah.
pointless.
Yeah.
It's similar to Topless.
Yeah,
with the four tops.
That's right.
Yeah,
which I think provided a little bit of confusion. People were coming in and thinking they were seeing one thing and they got another. I think because they just had Topless, Topless on the
Topless.
It really
they jumped to the wrong conclusion.
Yeah,
minus One Direction.
Mm-hmm. Too soon.
Yeah. The Muffins.
Is Martha dead?
No.
Okay. What else was there? There was the Moldy Blues, right?
Yes.
Instead of the Moody Blues.
Yes.
Are they all dead now?
No, I think some of them are still alive, but that would be a great name if they were all dead.
I'm not sure it would be.
Ironically, the Grateful Dead never played, which is... I thought it was a missed opportunity, really.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They always, you know, they never did things by the book.
So, is that it? Well, that's pretty much...
For the Fractions Lounge?
That's a good overview of the Fractions Lounge. What do you think?
I mean, each performance was so emotional, right? Because they were just getting over the death.
Yeah.
So, like, they just left everything out there.
That's right.
Yeah, it was...
They kind of exploited that.
I was overcome.
Question, are people still booking the Fractions Lounge?
I don't know. Frank, they're saying that it no longer exists, but I don't know.
No, I don't think so. I think it's gone. I think
the entire lodge.
Mhm.
Yeah.
What happened?
It's sort of been consumed.
Yeah. Some say it was the
it's an inspiration for the movie, The Osterman Weekend.
Oh, yeah.
You know, with the archery and all the deaths.
Yeah.
There's a lot of deaths.
And Some say it fell into disrepair and returned to nature.
Yes, it
did. Overrun by pine martens, yeah. Just like Chernobyl.
Yeah. It's grown over. It's been abandoned.
Yeah, I
think this is all hearsay.
It is that it's a natural preserve for pine martens now.
Yeah,
reclaimed by wayward boys.
You know, in the end, nature always wins out, yeah. Right?
And even though it ultimately failed, it succeeded on being a one-of-a-kind phenomena.
What parting thoughts could we say about the Lodge?
Well, the Lodge has now gone into legend, lore, and if we take a page from the Fractions Lounge, sooner or later, everyone will stay at the Lodge. Well, not the Lodge, maybe their own personal lodges, like mm-hmm. the Lodge and what, well, you know what I mean.
Right? The Lodge with a capital V.
Yeah.
T.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Yeah. Guys, that was a, can I say a deep dive?
That was deep.
Infinity.
We really,
It was an infinite dive. It was a deep dive into the infinity pool of life.
Right. That never ends.
Well.
Until you
unless you stay at the Lodge.
That's right. Sooner or later, it ends. Okay.
That's great.
So, I think I hear the outro music.
Oh, well.
Speaking of the end.
That might be everyone's favorite part of this podcast. But,
well.
But it's all good.
Thank you for joining us. And thanks again to our special guests today for returning. And
Matt and Brian, that was great. Mm-hmm. You guys, thanks for backing us up.
Hey, you guys could do it yourselves, but we appreciate being along for the ride.
Oh, a pleasure as always.
Well, I guess until the next time, that's it for Romp Illuminations.
But stay tuned for further exciting episodes.